Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon is part of the gospel lesson read for today. We will be referring to it during the sermon. Please be seated. Well, this being an election year, I have a story of elections, politics, and the life some 350 years ago. There was a shipload of passengers, and they landed on the northeast coast of the United States. In the first year, they established a town site. The next year, they elected a town government. The third year, the town government planned to build a road 5 miles westward into the wilderness. In the fourth year, the people tried to impeach the government because they thought it was a waste of public funds to build a road 5 miles westward into the wilderness. After all, who needed to go there anyway? Well, that's interesting. The people that had this great vision as they came across the ocean, I can't imagine what that was like, but that's how they traveled in those days. And they had that vision, but when they got into their own place and settled in, they couldn't see 5 miles in front of their face. But before we get too critical, we need to understand we're like that too. We sometimes can't see but right up in front of us. We don't have the long vision. But we have that faith which is ours in our Savior, Jesus Christ, which carries us through all circumstances. St. Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And what Paul was talking about was whether he had the resources or he didn't. Either way, he would be strengthened. Our gospel lesson speaks of another measure of faith, a faith that trusts in God for God's providing and not for the things that benefit us the most. So I've entitled the message, The Big Picture of Your Faith. And it is one that Jesus completes for you, and it is one that looks to the eternal. Now, my outline is here, and I usually generally tend to just follow right along. So, B, Roman numeral 2B1, that's Ephesians. There are several references in the third chapter, and then also verse 33 of our text. Over the years, I have told you from this very pulpit that in the Old Testament, God is always showing us pictures of what he's going to do, if we will pay careful attention, of course. So he told the people of that day that they needed to look for the signs and not necessarily what satisfies them. The Old Testament always paints pictures. We've got the story of Abraham and Isaac. And I've told you before, too, you know, if you have any doubts in what God can work out in your life, just look at this story. Because for 25 years, God had promised Abraham a son. And finally, when Abraham was the unlikely age of 100 and his wife Sarah was 90, that boy was born. And oh, he was the pride and joy of his father, promised long time ago, and now he was here. And now God asked him to do something really strange. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and sacrifice him on a mountain where I will show you. Wow. We can't imagine doing that. But that's what God asked him to do. And of course, it is recorded in Genesis chapter 22 that there's a discussion that goes on between Abraham and Isaac. Evidently, they've been done this a number of times before. And so Isaac says, you've got the firewood, father, and you've got the fire, you've got the firewood, but where's the sacrifice? Abraham says, speaking with his faith, the Lord will provide a sacrifice, my son. It's not recorded what Isaac said when he was strapped on the altar, because that's not important for us to know. But just as he is ready to commit the act, God says, do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. God did not make Abraham give up his son, but God did. The gospel in a nutshell, Luther called it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And this actually has an Old Testament pairing as well. The people were grumbling once again, and God sent poisonous snakes among the people. They bit the people, and the people died. And they went to Moses. They said, you have to intercede for us and go to God. We sin greatly. Get him to remove the snakes. And God says, here's what you do. Construct a bronze serpent and put it up on a pole. And if anyone is bitten and they look at the pole, the serpent on the pole, they will live. And so that's what happened. God has his solutions. We want an immediate fix. God has his solution and his promises. And so he comes through. And that's a picture. That's another picture of another pole, the cross of Calvary, where Jesus was nailed for your sins and for mine, to look to him alone for our salvation. In verse 27 of our text, Jesus seems quite frustrated with these people. He said, don't long for the bread that perishes, but for the one that endures to eternal life. They were looking only what was in front of them, which, as I mentioned before, we do that the same. How often don't we focus that way instead of looking in faith, looking at the big picture down the road? And so they asked Jesus, what must we be doing the works of God? He said, that's what you need to be doing. It's plain and simple. You either believe in Jesus or you don't. He says, doing the works of God is to believe in the one whom he has sent, and that is Jesus. It is a picture of faith. It is completed. It's painted by Jesus because he is the author of life. He is the bread of life. So secondly, it is one that we have now, and we look eternally at things, not just right here and now. This must have been a disappointment to Jesus. He said to them, you were seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. They were given manna from heaven. They were given enough for each day. And on the sixth day, they were given a double amount. That way, they weren't working on the Sabbath. Now, if they tried to store up some more, the bread went rotten. They needed to trust in God. And, of course, that reminds us of us today, a kind of a practical application. Most of the products that we buy have an expiration date on them. And we know that probably they're not very good to eat if they've exceeded that. Not always true, but pretty much. And, of course, that tells us something about the physical food that we get, that it doesn't last very long. It's not lasting. The one that Jesus brings does. This is a reminder of the temporary nature of our lives and the things that we seek after. But we have life when we focus on the big picture of our faith in our Savior, Jesus Christ. The big picture of your faith is seen through the eyes of God. That is, we look at things the way God looks at them. There was a family years ago. They had a son named Jimmy. And after supper each night, they would perhaps listen to the radio, maybe if they had a TV in those days, and did that, and then Jimmy would be put to bed, and they would come up later and tuck him in. Well, this particular night, there was a full moon. And so they went up there and saw Jimmy. And Jimmy was not in bed yet. And his mother says, Jimmy, you're supposed to be in bed so we can tuck you in. He says, I know, but I was just looking at the moon. And as I look at the moon, I know that one day I am going to walk on that moon. Oh, Jimmy was astronaut James Irwin. He did walk on the moon. He had that vision. He looked forward to that. And so you and I can too in the things that we face day after day. Jesus says, the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And much like the woman at the well, which was a couple chapters earlier, when Jesus talked about the living water, the woman asked for the water, because she knew she would never have to go get water anymore, she asked for this eternal water. And so here, the same thing, the people asked, they want to eat this bread always. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He brings life to the world and life to you and to me. In the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, we confess that God gives us all that we need to support this body and life. It all comes from God, not from our hard work, not because we deserve it, but as a gracious gift from God, which he gives to you and to me. I mentioned the Ephesians 3 chapter. St. Paul says this was according to his eternal purposes in Christ Jesus, what he had done. That no matter what we face, what we see, we have that faith which is eternal for you and for me, which is given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And because of what he has done, we have the big picture for our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.